Hello, and welcome to the InterScare podcast, where we talk horror with those who create it on a daily basis. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me. I am InterScare.
And I'm InterScare Wifey.
And we are here to talk horror with those who create it. On today's show, we have the Grim Reaper's Nightmare. The Grim Reaper's Nightmare has a YouTube channel dedicated to bringing you the most spine-tingling, creepypastas, and terrifyingly true stories. From urban legends to real-life horror, he explores the darker side of the human experience. Hello, Grim. How's it going today? Thank you for joining us.
Amazingly well, and thank you for having me.
Not a problem at all. This is a show that I've really wanted to do for a while now from the beginning, because you are actually the first person that I met in the horror narration community.
That is true, and I appreciated even you reaching out to have a word with me, to be fair.
Oh, not a problem at all. I heard your work, I really liked what you did, and I wanted to have you on a video, and we just kind of clicked and became friends after that. So I really appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate, you know, all of the work that we've done together, et cetera. So I think this is going to be a really good show. Can you talk a little bit about what you do?
Okay. Your introduction was pretty much on the head, to be fair. If you were a hammer and I was a nail, you smacked it. Bad joke. I guess with the best way to explain it is I am currently doing a lot of your stories that don't necessarily always get the limelight that were, well, that they deserve. So a lot of my stories, especially the ones that are currently on my channel, are from unknown authors. Or they are, as you mentioned, true stories based on let's not meet encounters. I'm really big on trying to get the newer people in the author field and so mm-hmm. forth, get their stuff out to the public. And also I like realism because it's something that kind of everyone can relate to. There was an old saying, I remember, it was to scare children, it has to be unbelievable. To scare adults, it needs to be something they could see happening.
Yeah.
So I kind of dedicate my channel to both of those, if that makes sense, without the influence of the children, but just the wording that is used there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's excellent. And that's a great way to, you know, get that full demographic there as well.
Tell me a little bit about your name. Why the Grim Reaper's Nightmare?
So when I was a young man, I spent a lot of time hanging around with rough kids. That's a lie. But no, I was a little gothic kid, and most of the people around me had nicknames. So my first nickname to be given was Grim. It was spelt G-R-I-M, so the standard for the Reaper. As I grew up, I started to get very heavy into the Brothers Grimm and their story structure. So naturally, I changed the way I spelled my name from GRM to GRMM to fit more in with them, because obviously in this line of work, I'm telling tales, which is what they did. So I thought it was more appropriate than the singular M. And also, to be fair, originally I was called Grim Reads. And it was spelled exactly the same, G-R-I-M-M. But it was a terrible name, and if you searched for me, you would get a whole lot of other things that weren't me. So,
gotcha. So you kind of switched the name to be a little more searchable?
Yeah, 100%. As the Raven Dreams is probably the trigger for that, because their name is roughly around the same length as mine. I'm like, well, how are you not going to be found if you've got 22 words in your name? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's very fair. And that's a really smart strategy too, you know, for making sure that your name is very searchable on YouTube, and so that you can get to that top of that search list.
Yeah, it's also helpful because, I mean, if I just said Grim Reads, people would forget that, but I feel if you have a kind of sentence as your name, it tends to get people to kind of store it in their long-term memory rather than the short-term.
Mm-hmm.
So the Grim Reaper's Nightmare, it's a decent length. It's not too long. People won't lose their attention span, which, let's be fair, humans have a very short short attention span.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, it is a pain in the rear end to type out, though, I will be honest.
What type of content do you feature on your channel? I know that you do stories, true and false, but what else do you have on there?
So I've been doing a lot of shorts lately where I'm doing, what are they called? So basically voiceover challenges or voice actor challenges. I'm really getting into those. I quite enjoy just the ability to trial out my voices in different ways and using my accents and kind of different structures that are set up with a script, predetermined, not necessarily horror based. It's kind of cool. I also do two sentence horrors, so those are my primary shorts. At the moment, my main goal is to build a release schedule which has a bit of everything for everyone. So on Monday, I plan to do a series, kind of like a weekly episode, you know, like your TV shows back in the day. Wednesday, I'm thinking of doing a medium to long true story. And then Friday is going to be collaborations or completed series as a singular upload for people who prefer to listen to everything in one go.
That's awesome. And speaking of your shorts, we actually have one here that I went and downloaded, and we are going to play it for everyone. So without further ado, everyone, The Grim Reaper's Nightmare.
Could you voice act a villain? I'm not going to give any direction for these scripts. I want to see your unique interpretation. So duet this and let your evil side out. Good luck.
I don't need to be stronger. I don't even need to be smarter. Because while you are bound by the chains of lore and morality, I'm unburdened by either, and for that reason alone, I will always win. Even death doesn't scare me. People always say that this world is not fair, but I never liked that. All I'm trying to do is make it fear. If we all can't be on top, then I will drag every one of them down to the bottom. Then, and only then, will it be fear.
All right, Grim, those shorts are so good. I wanted to learn a little bit here because we want to teach people how to create things within the horror community. And me being a primarily sleep narrator, I'm not really good at really putting my emotion into stories or really putting myself into a character. So can you talk a little bit about how you do those voices and how you really put yourself into those characters?
Yeah, I think there was a point in my life where I was doing stand-up comedy, and when I was doing that, I would use those accents. And I thought, what's a good way of getting these things actually better out there rather than for stupid jokes? Well, narration. So I started looking up videos on YouTube around the likes of fluctuations and how to be a voice actor. And a couple of the tricks that I found, like, for example, I can make myself sound like I want to cry without any difficulty because it's that trigger that you have in your head. I need to be sad here, and learning a way to make that actually happen for you. But also, one of the bigger things is whatever you're doing, what you would normally do in a situation, double it. So if you're smiling and you want it to sound like you're smiling, double the actual grin. So right now I'm talking with a smile, but then the more I lift it to a smile, the more it starts to sound like a smile. Because your muscles react in a way that will change the pitch But it's not so easy to hear that unless you're doing it a little bit more extreme when you're recording. So for that question, it's really just anything that you are going to do, double it. If you're going to smile, if you're going to cry, if you're going to be angry, if you're going to sound like a maniac, you want to double the facial expression that comes with that emotion or action.
I've heard some of your narrations where you sound very sad or angry. Mm-hmm. Do you feel those genuine emotions when you're telling the story?
It depends on how long the scene is. So if it's a really short one, I mean, it's not that hard. I can kind of just go into it. But if it starts to drag out, then that thing that I use to trigger it does linger. So I do start to actually feel the emotion there sometimes, especially when I'm reading stories that are to do with like children or, you know, those sort of vulnerable people. It tends to be a little bit more easier to feel sad for those situations. And I do feel them a lot more.
Yeah. And speaking of that, this is going perfectly because we also have a story about children that you narrated. And you can really feel the emotion within this story. And this is another one that I really wanted to showcase to everyone out there. So, everyone, without further ado, Noah's Somnium by the Grim Reaper's Nightmare.
I'm so cold. I sit on the cold white tiles of our bathroom. I can hear the steady drip, drip, drip of the leaky faucet of the tub. It sounds so loud now, almost like the crash of a cymbal. Each blasted drop mocking me. Mummy is gone. Daddy is too. Sissy and my little brothers as well. It's just me now. All alone in my bathtub. Somnium. The day I woke up here started with Mom and Dad scaring me with their arguing. Dad said,
"Damn it, Daria. I have to go to work. I won't be gone that long. Can't you just keep it together for one fucking day? Mom will be here in an hour or two."
Please don't go. I don't feel well.
Mum said with a bit of a stutter. Her dark brown, almost black eyes filled with tears. Fresh cuts lined her already scarred pale thin arms. Her hand shook as she rubbed her fingers over the inflamed tissue.
No! Laziness will lead to us losing everything. You know what Pastor told us last week. Not like you care anyway. Just shut up and take care of the kids and get this fucking house cleaned up.
His voice boomed. He grabbed his lunch bag and thermos and slammed the door on his way out. Mum stayed inside and just whimpered in her rocking chair. She drew her knees to her chest and started chewing on her fingers. My younger brothers John and Paul got up, hungry for cereal. I told them to join me in the kitchen and gave them both a small bowl. After breakfast, Mum seemed more agitated. Baby sister, who was very fussy, crying uncontrollably every time Mum would put her down. I grabbed a toy that had a mirror on it and it seemed to soothe her a bit. I settled in to watching a show on PBS. I could hear my mother running a bath, calling out to John, Paul and Luke, telling them to come take the baths. To save money and time, she often bathed several of us together. I'm a big boy now. I'm 7. I get to take a bath on my own. Little Sissy still has her baths in the sink since she's just 6 months old.
The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the immoral.
She trailed off as she carried out John, wrapped in a towel, limp and pale, and took him to his room.
Those who practice dark magic arts, the idolaters and all the liars.
Mum said as she then carried out Paul the same way as John.
They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur.
She stuttered in a voice that didn't even sound like her. She sounded possessed. Mum didn't seem sad anymore. Her black t-shirt was soaked with water and what appeared to be thick white foam of some sort. She seemed like one of those zombies from the scary movies I sneak in and watch at Grandma's house. Legs shuffling instead of walking like normal. Her glasses were completely crooked on her face. She came into the living room where I was sitting with Sissy. Mum picked her up without any care and Sissy began crying and screaming again. I felt something very bad in my stomach, almost like when your tummy does a flip-flop in an elevator. I heard loud splashing and Mum mumbling incoherently. I decided to go see how brothers were doing so I didn't have to be alone in the living room. When I walked into John's room, dread filled me from head to toe. He was lying there on the bed with his eyes and mouth open, foam coming from his nostrils. He was a bluish-gray color and had very dark bruises on his neck and shoulders. I panicked and rushed into the bathroom. Mum, help. Something's wrong with John. Please, Mum, help. I half screamed.
The unbelieving, the vile, the murderers.
She trailed, slurring with a crazed look in her eyes. Mum, what are you talking about? Please. Come help, John. I cried, exasperated. I walked closer to her and tried grabbing her elbow and dragging her to John's room. It's then when I saw my beautiful little sister floating face down in the tub. She was the same eerie shade of gray as John. And my other brothers. Mom, what's wrong with Mary? I bawled as I took a staggered step backwards.
Come take a bath, Noah.
Mum muttered in a guttural tone. Something inside me told me to run. I took off out of the bathroom and sprinted as fast as I could into the dining room. I tried to get to the wall phone to dial 911. Mother was right behind me. I couldn't believe she could run that fast. I tried to run around the table to escape her grasp, but her legs were longer than me and she grabbed me. She yanked me by both my arms and dragged me Todd back into the bathroom, even though I attempted to escape, kicking and screaming. Mom's gonna kill me, I realized. Please, Mommy, don't kill me. I promise I'll be better. I love you, Mommy. Please don't hurt me. I shrieked. The last thing I heard before I went under the brown foamy water was Mother wailing.
My children!
Then a few seconds of garbled Bible verses. Immediately I experienced the worst horror of my life. My entire body burned and my lungs felt like they were going to explode. I flailed and tried my best to get a breath of air. All I was met with was cold, cruel water. I opened my eyes and I could see Mary's face near mine. I got so tired, so fast, I couldn't fight anymore. Why doesn't Mommy love me? Was the very last thought I thought before I was consumed by darkness. And then I woke up here, laying on the bathroom floor. It doesn't hurt anymore. It's just so cold. The dripping never ends. I already tried the doorknob. It's locked. Where is everyone? I said to myself, we're all here. A child whispered behind me, and as I turned around, I realized my nightmare was just beginning.
Wow, that was powerful. The emotion that you were able to portray in Noah, it's bar none in my opinion. It is absolutely amazing what you are able to do.
Thank you.
If you could give advice to someone who's just starting out in narrations, who wants to be able to portray emotion on that level, and who wants to be able to really get into a character, what advice would you give them?
Pick something that relates to the emotion and use that to guide you, but also be careful in doing so. You don't want to pick something that is traumatizing when you're playing an emotional character, but you also don't want to pick anything that strips away the trueness of the emotion. So the easiest thing I can really suggest is if you know that that character is in some way, shape, or form providing a form of expression and emotion, just try to get something in your mind. You may need to take a minute before you actually read the lines, but take that moment to think about something that you could relate to. Say, and this is probably the best one, is think about those movies that you have had to watch in your life. I don't know, thinking of a Titanic. I don't know, maybe Titanic hit you hard. And where Jack is going down, how you watch her, you start to go, woo, 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 that sort of emotional baggage that comes with that. You would then use that same trigger feeling that you had, maybe even just watch that part of the show before you make the recording. It'll help the emotion seem more true when you are actually using it.
I love what you said about, you know, being careful with it as well, because there's things that I've turned down before that were too close to home, but being able to use it is definitely a wonderful conduit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's knowing where your limitation is and being willing to express yourself. You've got to remember, and I think this is the biggest thing, is when you're doing it, no one needs to know where the emotion comes from. You're the only one who needs to know that. So that means whatever you pick is something you need to be comfortable with living with when you've picked it. And you don't need to tell anybody. You don't need to express it beyond that point. But knowing what it is for you can sometimes just help if you have to portray that in the future, because then you know how to fall back to it if necessary.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd love to hear about some future aspirations and goals. Where do you hope to see your channel in the future?
Well, this whole thing started off as me just being told that I could read a book, you know. So I had no intention to get past 100 subscribers. In fact, I didn't even think I'd get that far. Most of them were people I begged because I wanted to change my name because I forgot I had my email set up as the user. If I could look towards tomorrow, I would like to be able to see it at least hitting enough people where it feels worth the time I'm putting in. I'm not really worried about any sort of revenue that comes from it. It's a hobby for me. But being able to get out there and express myself through the characters I play, getting people involved, I think the more I can do that and the more people I can do that with, it would feel like I've accomplished something with the channel. Plus, it's something that can remain, you know. It's like if I grow old and move on, or the internet, not internet, no, we need that for it to work, but say something changes in my life, at least then it's a legacy that kind of stays behind. My son can listen to it if he's old enough and wants to hear it. And it's just cool knowing that that kind of sticks around there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Leaving a legacy is definitely a good reason to be doing it too.
We were just talking about that the other day, actually. So it's very interesting you said that.
Yes, we were. Yeah. And you also said that one of the ways that you gauge success by your channel is by working with other people too. Can you talk about some of the collabs that you've done? And is there anyone special that you would like to collab with?
Oh, man, I've been blessed since I started this. Like, this is a 7-month-old thing, right? So I've already been blessed to perform with my favorite narrator of all times, Indiskir. And then I've also had my other two follow-ups, which is Mr. Creepypasta and the Dark Somnium. I can say it sometimes. Dark Somnium. I've already been blessed to be able to work with like three of the idols that I've wanted. If I could have another chance to do it, it would be either primarily with Dark Somnium, but actually do it as a character script rather than a true story script where you normally only read it as one person.
Yeah.
So an actual interactive script with him would be amazing. Because I've been blessed again. I've had the luxury of doing that with you, Phoenix, Wifey, that type of scripting where we're playing different characters. I've been blessed there. It would probably complete it if I could do it with Dark Somnium, yeah.
That's excellent. And that's a great aspiration to have. And he has worked with you in the past, so I'm sure that he would be receptive to doing something like that in the future.
He's already mentioned it, so that may happen sometime in the foreseeable future, hopefully. I'll keep pestering him.
That is excellent. So you being at a channel setting at 1,800 subscribers, right? Around 1,000 subscribers, just over 1,000 subscribers. Congratulations on hitting 1,000, by the way.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you, as a channel of that size, get in collaboration with someone with 650,000 subscribers like Dark Somnium?
I am what you call the most annoying person in the world. I literally just sent a tweet out saying, hey, will you collaborate with me as a celebration for the new year? And luckily I had so many people. I had Dark Somnium, I had Mr. Creepypasta, at Dr. Creepin. I mean, like a massive list of people who were willing to actually jump on and do that 4-hour collaboration. Like, that's how many people jumped on and joined in with me.
That is amazing.
So it was just that luck, I suppose, and the fact that, I mean, I take no for an answer, but I also pester the hell out of people, so that helps.
So you'll take no for an answer, but you at least want some answer.
Yeah, it's you have to give me a no. Like, the second I get a no, that's it, I'll leave you alone. But until then, I'm going to message and put a message up every week just until you get annoyed enough to respond.
So is that how you would recommend, like, someone just starting out in the community who wants to get some collaborations done? Would you recommend them just send a tweet until they get an answer? Or how would you recommend someone go about finding collaborations for people to work with?
In all honesty, hell no. It's not ideal. I know the way that I do it isn't orthodox. Like, it bothers people and it's not okay. That's why I've also pulled back in doing it. But I mean, just ask once or twice. Like, there's no harm in that, you know? Like, if somebody's an idol for you and you want to make that connection with them, reach out once or twice. I mean, you don't even need to reach out to start with to make a actual collaboration with them. Just send a message out and say, hey, it'd be cool if we could just talk about things. I'd like to learn how you do things. Or even, hey, I've got this really cool idea that I want someone to help me with, and I think you guys would be suited for it. It's that sort of put your name out there. Don't be afraid to raise your hand and tell people that you're looking to meet them, but don't pester people. I know it's annoying because, as I said, I do it. But to be fair, I do it normally after I've already gotten an answer, which is generally yes, and I want things done in the time frame. But still, it's put your hand up, get your name out there, and people will be very receptive in this community. Horror community is an amazing group of people that are more than willing to help in most situations.
Absolutely. That's my experience as well. A lot of people are very receptive to you, very open. I do have one more question about collabs, and then I'll kick it over to Interscare Wifey for the next question.
Go for it.
But speaking of collabs, I know I've had this problem before, and I'm sure you have as well, where you have a thing where you're working on someone with a collab, and they are taking forever to get you back their lines. How do you handle that situation? Like, whenever you're ready to release a video, you just need someone's lines back, but they said that they would do it. They're going to do it. You know they're going to do it, but they're taking forever. How do you deal with that?
Firstly is the, laying out boundaries. People need to understand that whilst they are in some way helping you out, there are other people who wish to do so as well. And letting people know when you give them a specific task. So, for example, I'll say to Phoenix, I need that done in 2 weeks, and he will never miss that deadline, you know. I mean, he gets it to me the same night because he's a weirdo. But I mean, outside of all of that, it's set those boundaries, give them a time limit. And if they don't comply with that time limit, make predetermined rulings to that. So especially when you've got to be careful though, obviously, but if you're starting out and you've got a specific schedule that you have to stick to or you want to stick to, for an example, it's a story you have been working on for a month and you really want it out before the following month, you can be a little bit more upfront when you ask for that assistance. So go, hey, I need this in 2 weeks. If you can't guarantee me that 2 weeks, so getting it to me before the end of that, then I'm going to have someone else take the lines and I'll talk to you about doing another collaboration later. But it's setting those boundaries and letting them know, hey, if you can't get it to me by that point, I will find someone who can. And not feeling bad for putting those boundaries in place, because people are absolutely awful at only really thinking about their boundaries, very short-sighted. And if you're the one asking them for help, even if it is for help, you should be allowed to set boundaries and people should be able to respect them.
just as you would respect theirs if they put them into planks.
Absolutely. And to add on to that, if you never put your boundaries into place, like if you never tell the person, then they don't know about those boundaries. So you do have to be upfront and honest about that as well.
Exactly. It's the biggest thing. And I think because I'm a Kiwi, right, we are very bad at not setting boundaries. It's like one of our biggest flaws. We'll generally let anyone walk over us without once saying no. It's a bad habit. Definitely don't do it. It's learning that it is okay to have those boundaries. And also that transparency will actually be beneficial in the future, I think. At least it's proven to be beneficial, because then you get to know who are the most reliable. You get to know who has your back when you need them, because sometimes it does become an urgent situation. It also allows for you to feel confident and comfortable in the group that you build, because in any community, you have to build your own clique. You can't just go into someone else's and expect everyone to like you or want to work with you. So you need to build a clique. And the good thing about building that is people can come into it as much as they want and they can leave it. So having those boundaries lets them know what to expect when they're inside that clique. So,
Absolutely.
Do you have any frustrations in the narration community or with YouTube?
With YouTube, not really. I mean, I'm making money from it, so I mean, there's no hindrance there. I do swear a lot, which is a Kiwi thing again. I suppose we'll fall back to that. Like generally, every second word is a cuss word, unless I'm being professional for work. So knowing that there are limitations on those sort of things can be a little bit irritating, but I mean, not really. As for the narration side of things, I think the biggest thing that gets me is just the interruptions that can happen because of people that feel that they have the right to ask for more than they do. I don't know if that makes sense, but there are some people that I've met in the horror community that want you to do a lot of things for them when they aren't willing to do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that frustrates me, because as I said, as a Kiwi, I find it hard to set boundaries. And because I was new and naive, I thought that it was a good way for me to do things, but people will try to take advantage of you. Normally it's not the people from the actual horror community themselves, but those who are trying to get their foot in the door. Those that are new, that don't understand that it is quite a niche network. So yeah, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's one of the biggest frustrations, especially the new guys. Like, you're new, you don't have the right to order me around or set my schedule for me.
And the reason we ask this question is because we are trying to help people who are new into the horror community. We are trying to help people who are just getting into it. So being upfront about some of the frustrations that are prevalent in the community or prevalent with YouTube in general, it really helps people really understand that it's not all sunshine and roses doing narrations. And it also if your frustration is something within the horror community, it could be something that they avoid as well.
It's almost an unspoken etiquette. I apologize. Go ahead.
No. You're fine. You're right. It's an unspoken etiquette, as you were saying.
So what projects have you worked on in the past that led you to where you are today? Because I know that you don't just post a video and you automatically have 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So what different projects have you worked on that really brought you up to where you are, and what actually got you into doing narrations in the first place?
Okay. Well, we'll go to the second question first, because I think it makes a bit more sense to start there. Narration, because of the fact that I have dyslexia. It is a learning disability which makes things like reading and writing difficult for some people.
It has different variations and different levels of intensity. Mine is more to do with my intake of words as well as writing. I can't think and write the same thing that I'm thinking 9 out of 10 times. So I want to get better at being able to do that process. And as an adult, whilst I do have dyslexia, and it is very common in adults, one thing that they say is helpful is that constant practice. So the first thing that started it was my partner wanted to sleep and she wanted stories read to her. Generally, it was biblical because she's a religious person. So I read her the Bible to start with to help her sleep. She said that I had a good voice for that sort of thing. I'm not very good at sleep narrations just yet. Because of that, she kind of triggered it to start, get me that confidence. But I also knew that to be able to get more confident, I had to practice a lot more. So I started doing short videos. I think my first couple were only around 5 to 10 minutes in length at max. I had a couple of longer ones, but they took forever. And I just kept pushing those out. That's how I got to meet the likes of Phoenix and yourself, really, was collabing with Phoenix and pumping those out. But if it wasn't for me wanting to get better at just getting my words to work, and also if my partner didn't convince me that I had the voice for it, probably wouldn't have started down the narration track. Then to get to where I am now, as I said, I've been very blessed, and like, not everyone is going to be able to say that not everyone's going to be able to go through the same thing I have. Like, I met Phoenix Fire when he was 100, 200 subscribers. We hit it off. We collaborated with each other almost every week. And with that, our channels both grew pretty much side by side. It was a little bit of fun kind of doing that. Then I was approached by you, for example, and I got to do a couple of stories for a video I think you put on your other channel. That got me started with a few subscribers. I think I got almost 50 subscribers from that. Then I had the mega collab on New Year's, which took me up a good 300-400 subscribers, and then the most recent one was that Noah's Somnium that shot me up. I think I had 6,000 views, and just collectively of my whole channel. But because of the Noah's Somnium, which was about 600 views, pretty much everyone who watched that video subscribed. So, I mean, it jumped up substantially, and that's where I ended, was at the 1,000.
That is excellent. Congratulations again on hitting that 1,000 number. That is huge. Just a statistic. I think it's only like 10% of YouTubers that ever hit 1,000 subscribers. So you're in that top 10% now.
Now I just got to get to the 1%. Then I can be ruling the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What is something that you wished we had asked you during this interview today that we didn't?
To be fair, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, so anything you asked would have been perfectly fine as long as you weren't asking for my bank account number. So I appreciated all the questions. I thought they were very good and well thought out.
Well, thank you. Now, speaking of which, what is your bank account number? No, I'm just kidding.
0001001001.
That's hilarious. Alrighty. You have anything else in there, Scare Wifey?
Nope.
Where can people find you, Grim?
My house. I'm not giving you the address to that. But you could also locate me on the likes of my Twitter page. It's under the same name as my YouTube channel. So the Grim Reaper's Nightmare. You can find me on Facebook, same name. If you want to communicate with me, those are the two most easiest ways. I've also got a Reddit page set up for people who want to submit stories to me, an email address too, which are all generally on my channel. And last place and not least is my channel, which will have links to every social media I have. So
excellent, excellent. So his YouTube is youtube.com/@thegrimreapersnightmare. He's at @G_R_nightmare on Twitter. And you can follow me, InnerScare, on Twitter @InnerScareSleep. You can follow me on Instagram @InnerScare. You can find me on YouTube, youtube.com/InnerScareSleep. And my lovely co-host, you can find her on Twitter @InnerScareWifey or on YouTube @InnerScareWifey, youtube.com/@InnerScareWifey. Thank you so much for joining us today, everybody. Thank you, Grim, for joining us. I appreciate it. And to everyone out there, have a great fright and keep creating horror. Bye-bye, everybody.